you never have to worry about is the temperature that measures the love that our God shows to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. The only thing we really have to worry about is the heat of our response to His love. As the book of Revelation says, you don't want to have it as that set at lukewarm. A little hotter than that is always desirable. We begin our service then today with the singing of our first hymn, hymn number 342, Chief of Sinners Though I Be. At the conclusion, we rise and continue with our liturgy on page 15 for the fourth part of our hymn.
Justly deserve by temporal and eternal.
My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. Sunday after Trinity, the Old Testament lesson, and also the lesson that serves as the basis for our sermon this morning, is written in the 17th chapter of the book of the prophet Jeremiah, beginning at the 5th verse. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord, for he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without an abode. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is in the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. The heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the result of his deeds. As a partridge that hatches eggs which it has not laid, so is he who makes a fortune, but unjustly. In the midst of his days it will forsake him, and in the end he will be a fool. A glorious throne on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away on earth will be written down, because they have forsaken the fountain of living waters, even the Lord. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are my praise. Look, they keep saying to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. But as for me, I have not turned away from being a shepherd after you, nor have I longed for the woeful day. You yourself know the utterance of my lips was in your presence. Do not be a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster. Let those who persecute me be put to shame, but as for me, let me not be put to shame. Let them be dismayed, but let me not be dismayed. Bring on them a day of disaster and crush them with a twofold destruction. So far, the Old Testament lesson. The epistle lesson is written in the fifth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, beginning at the 16th verse. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions or heresies, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarn you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So far, the epistle lesson. We now rise to speak the gradual responsibly, and at the conclusion sing the triple Alleluia. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. I will praise the Lord while I live. Do not trust in princes. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, who executes justice for the oppressed. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. He supports the fatherless and the widow. Hallelujah. O Lord, deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. Saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And it came about as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his feet at Jesus's, and he fell on his face at Jesus's feet, giving thanks to Jesus. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Where are not 10 healed, but the 9? Where are they? Were none found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." So far, the Holy Gospel. Printed at top page 22 of our hymnal.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, and his kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the Lord to come. Amen.
Please be seated. We now continue with our next hymn, hymn number 414, and before the sermon we'll sing stanzas 1-3. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. So far the text, let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, if we look at our currency, whether it's coins or paper money, we always see four words: in God we trust. You know, I'm sure you've seen the sign in some stores that make a little bit of a joke about that. For example, they say, in God we trust, all others pay cash. Now, that talks about trust in God and a mistrust in humankind. But, you know, since it's kind of a humorous sign, I think it probably places more humor, more stress on humor than on trust. And so I'd hazard a guess that the trust of which it speaks is probably not higher than its distrust in humanity. Trust is a problem in our country. Major institutions aren't trusted very much, whether it's big labor, big government, or big business, whether it's Washington or Sacramento, whether it's politicians of one party or another party. You know, the level of trust is pretty low. Trust is in short supply. What about God? Do people place their trust in Him? And if they do, what kind of God are they speaking about? Is it the God that appears in our currency, which basically the Supreme Court has ruled, oh, that's okay, that's not a reference to really a religious God, that's just a reference to some kind of civic religion, and that's just what people say, and it doesn't mean much of anything. After all, there is the trust of total reliance, and then there is the trust of hedging our bets, and the two are different. Trust was also a problem in Jeremiah's day as well. But since human nature remains pretty much the same, God's word given to Jeremiah still speaks to us 2,600 years after the fact. There is still the problem of trust in God. The problem of what kind of God are we speaking about, and the problem, what exactly is the nature of the trust about which we're talking? And that brings me to this morning's sermon topic, in whom do we trust? And I'll develop this in three parts. First, man's nature is deceitful. Secondly, trust Jesus. And third, Jesus doesn't make us ashamed. Through the prophet Jeremiah, who lived some 600 years before Jesus, God spoke words of judgment to his people. As a matter of fact, God's judgment against his people, that is his bill of indictment, is given at the beginning of chapter 16. When God tells Jeremiah to tell the people that your forefathers have forsaken and have followed other gods and served them and bowed down to them, but me they have forsaken and not kept my Torah or my word, each one walking according to his own stubbornness of his own heart without listening to me. Faith in God and trust in God flow from the heart. But the people listened to their own thoughts and followed their own hearts instead of listening and following the Lord. You know, the Lord repeatedly said that he would meet his people at the temple in Jerusalem, and there in the sacrificial offerings that he himself had instituted, he would meet them with forgiveness. But rather than come and offer a sacrifice with a trusting heart, rather than come and listen to the word of forgiveness, the people listened to their own words and thoughts and turned away from the living God to wooden idols, and in the process corrupted themselves as well as their society. In other words, first comes the spiritual falling away, and then alongside of this comes material corruption. So the people place their trust in both false gods and material goods. But if people only trust in the things that they have, then at the end of their life, they're going to find out that the false gods fail them, and material goods just basically vanish into thin air. All the things in which they had trusted won't be able to save them when it counts. As a matter of fact, those who trust in them, who forsake the Lord and trust in themselves, will have their names written in the dust of the earth. And here the Authorized Version has a better translation. They that depart from me shall be written in the earth. What does this mean? It means that rather than having their names written in the book of life in heaven, their names will be written in the dusty wilderness of death and are far away from God's life-giving waters of forgiveness. And when the breath of the Lord breathes on them, their names disappear into the dust of the air. Spiritually, things haven't changed in 2,600 years. The heart of man, as God says, is still deceitful above all things. And man's natural inclination, the default setting of our natures, is to trust in ourselves and the things that we have made rather than that which the Lord gives to us out of his great grace and love. Thus, if we read our text aright, we see that God's charge to Jeremiah points ahead, and we are to trust in Jesus. In the Old Testament, God's call to his people to trust in him above all things is never given apart from trusting in the promised one whom God will send, who will be the remedy for sin. And that's God's own Son, Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, our text clearly shows the contrast between the waters of life, the forgiveness promised by God, which works faith in the heart, and the dusty desert of sin, which is characterized by drought and death, whose reward is spiritual and physical and eternal death. Jesus is the one who in the New Testament speaks of himself as the water of life. In the first instance, in the fourth chapter of John, we find Jesus speaking to a Samaritan woman at the well. And Jesus tells her, everyone who drinks of this water that comes out of the well will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. In the second instance, Jesus has gone to Jerusalem at the Feast of the Tabernacle. And there in the seventh chapter of John, we read Jesus' words. When he speaks to the crowds assembled in the temple, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his inmost being shall flow rivers of living water. But Jesus said this about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, for Jesus had not yet been glorified. And the third time Jesus speaks of this is in the revelation given to John on the island of Patmos. And then in the book of Revelation we read Jesus' words. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. Jesus speaks of himself as God's living water because in him God grants the forgiveness of sin. Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit as the means by which this water is a water of life, because it is the work of the Holy Spirit to speak about Jesus. And the Spirit speaks about Jesus through word and sacrament to create and sustain faith in he who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As a matter of fact, in California, we should be well aware of the value of water. As a matter of fact, probably the value of water is treasured more highly in the Holy Land and the Middle East than even around here. because around here we may have some extra sources, but there it is very much limited. Without water at the proper time, much of the Central Valley would be as barren as some of the deserts of the Middle East. But here Jesus is speaking not about land, but about people who need to be watered and nourished with God's Word. To get water in California, people and to land, we spend billions on water diversion projects, and I guess there are some people who would spend billions more. But regardless of how much we spend to get water, Jesus spent even more to get the spiritual water of life and forgiveness to each one of us. For it was with a price far higher than all the gold and silver in the world that Jesus earned for us the forgiveness of sins. It was with his innocent suffering and death and the shedding of his holy and precious blood on the cross that Jesus gives us the forgiveness of sins. And it was through his sacrificial death on the cross in the arid and dusty wasteland of death itself that Jesus died for us so that we might not be spiritually dead to God. And only in Christ are we like trees planted by streams of living water. And those streams are the word of forgiveness that the Holy Spirit works in us as he comes to us through the waters of baptism, as he comes to us through the word of absolution, as he comes to us, as he shares with us his true body and blood, given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. And here that word of forgiveness is continually renewed and made fresh again each and every day. And these are the streams of life that are but a foreshadowing of the stream of everlasting life that awaits us in heaven. Those who thirst are they who are aware of their sin, who know that by themselves their names are but written in the dusty desert wilderness of sin and could be blown away at any moment, who know that they are burdened by sin which they themselves cannot remove. They sorrow over their sin, they thirst for forgiveness and reconciliation with God, and they look for forgiveness and behold, God has come to them in his Son. And the Son invites them with words of love and grace, come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And here the Good Shepherd leads all of the faithful, leads all of us to pools of refreshing forgiveness, where they may have life and strength in the midst of their earthly lives. To believe that Jesus died and rose for me, for the forgiveness of my sins is nothing less than to trust in him above all things for the one thing needful. And in trusting in Jesus, we see that Jesus does not make us ashamed. Even though Jeremiah trusted in God above all things, the old Adam within him still had him at times doubt. And these doubts were reinforced by the people who taunted Jeremiah and said, they keep saying to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. In these ways, the devil would even have us doubt, for the taunts haven't changed throughout the ages. As a matter of fact, as Jesus hung on the cross, he suffered the same taunting and ridicule from the religious leaders and passers-by. And they wagged the finger at Jesus and said, you who destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come on down from the cross. He saved others, but he couldn't save himself. Let him come down from the cross and we shall believe him. But as a lamb led to the slaughter, Jesus did not open his mouth. And when he came down from the cross, he came down as a lifeless corpse to be laid in the grave. On the third day, however, he rose from the dead. And it is in the midst of his glorious resurrection from the dead on the third day that we see that Jesus indeed successfully conquered sin, death, and broke the power of the devil's deceitfulness in luring people away from the true God. It is in the resurrection that Jesus answered his critics once and for all. He died once and he died for all. And he rose once and he rose for all, never to die again. He is the first fruits of them who die, so that all who believe in him should not die, but have everlasting life. The taunting continued in the early church, and the Apostle Peter spoke of his critics and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, everything continues just as it was from the beginning of the creation. I'm sure if the phrase same old were around in Peter's day, his critics would have thrown that in his face as well. But God's answer given through Peter is a word of grace and promise. For the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient to you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. In word and sacrament, and only in word and sacrament, God gives his life-giving waters of forgiveness. These are the means the Holy Spirit uses to bring people to Jesus and to create and sustain faith in him as the only name given among men by which we may be saved. God calls us to trust in these means of grace, that through them we are not only saved but sustained on our life's journey. And because Jesus rose from the dead, we see in his triumph our triumph and future triumph in spite of the critics and naysayers of this world. We are called to trust in God, but not in any God. Not in the God that appears on our currency, but God calls us to trust in him as he has revealed himself in grace and love and truth in his Son, Jesus Christ. The natural man doesn't understand this. The natural man would rather trust in the things he has created, believing in the deceitfulness of the devil, our flesh, and the world. But in the midst of this deceit, the deceit of the dusty desert of death, God continues to pour out his water of life through his Son. And Jesus' death and resurrection, mediated to us through the means of grace, God gives us the forgiveness and life and salvation, and there plants us as trees continually refreshed by his word of forgiveness. In his death and in his resurrection, Jesus has broken the power of sin and taken away sin's wage, which is death itself. And he's given us this without cost to us, for he paid the price once and for all. Jesus is the only one upon whom we can depend, not only for this life, but also for the one to come. He cared enough for us to die for us, and in his rising shares with us life without end. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We now continue with stanzas 4-6 of hymn 414, The Man Is Ever Blessed. And at the conclusion, we turn back to page 22 and join our hearts and voices in singing the offertory. And after the offertory, we shall receive the offering.
Oh.
those who were able to rise from prayer. We did give up thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone. A trust, O God, from thee. Amen. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give thee thanks for all the goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of thy dear Son and for the revelation of thy will and grace. And we beseech thee so to implant thy word in us, that in good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth fruit by patient continuance and well-doing. Most humbly we beseech thee so to rule and govern thy church universal, with all its pastors and ministers, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of thy saving word, whereby faith toward thee may be strengthened, charity increased in us toward all mankind, and thy kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into thy harvest, and sustain those whom thou hast sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant also health and prosperity to all that are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of these United States, the Governor and Legislature of this state, and to all our judges and magistrates, and endue them with grace to rule after thy good pleasure in the maintenance of righteousness and to the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. May it please thee also to turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their enmity and be inclined to walk with us in meekness and in peace. All who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially to those who are suffering in thy name's sake and for thy truth's sake, comfort, O God, with thy Holy Spirit, that they may receive and acknowledge their afflictions as the manifestation of thy fatherly will. And although we have deserved thy righteous wrath and manifold punishments, yet we entreat thee, O most merciful Father, remember not the sins of our youth, nor our many transgressions, but out of thine unspeakable goodness, grace, and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger of body and soul. Preserve us from false and pernicious doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of thy mercy, and from an evil death. And in every time of trouble, show thyself a very present help, the Savior of all men, and especially of them that believe. Cause all needless fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land and sea and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, and crown them with thy blessing. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring before thee, for thou hast purchased us to be thine own, that we may live unto thee. Heavenly Father, we would ask that thou wouldst be gracious unto those in our midst and those whom we know who are ill, giving them that healing which is needful for body, soul, and spirit, and blessing those in the medical arts who attend them. For this end, we especially pray for Nancy, Roy, Gerald, Jean, Marlene, Don, Linda, Carla, Kurt, Lee, Rose, and her husband, our neighbor, Sue, Carolyn's friend, Sue, Don, Richard, Ruth, James, Chloe and Dagny, Doug, and especially those whose names on our hearts which we lift up unto thee now. We would ask that you would be with those in our synod who have been called, and also to those congregations and schools who are calling. Give them all an extra measure of thy Holy Spirit, that those who are called may see where their talents may best lie in the furtherance of thy kingdom, and that those who are calling may not lose heart or hope during the vacancy. We would ask that you would give us such seasonable weather so as to quench the wildfires that are raging in our state and in the West, and also to send that rain at needful times to help break the drought which we are experiencing. Be with all those who are driving to services this day, setting thy holy angels over them to grant them a safe journey. These and whatsoever other things thou would have us ask of thee, O God, grant unto us for the sake of the bitter sufferings and death of Jesus Christ, thine only Son, our Lord and Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever the one true God, world without end. Amen. We now continue with our service at the middle of page 24. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. Salutary, that they should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost art one God, one Lord, and the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity and substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we love and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Yeah.
this is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of sins. Now may this eating and drinking of the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ keep, strengthen, and preserve you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever the one true God, world without end. The Lord be with you. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. sing at hymn 399, Thee Will I Love, My Strength, My Tower. We sing stanzas 1 to 3.